Focus with Owen Beattie.
All right, as I mentioned there from the outset, a free phone service has just opened for students who may have got their Leaving Cert results this morning. The National Parents Council Leaving Certificate Helpline 2022. The number is 1800 265 165. We'll give that out to you again later on in the programme. But on the line now is Paul Ralston from Carberry. He's Communications Director with the National Parents Council Post-Primary. And he joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We discussed this on the Kildare Today programme this morning because we were on air when the results went live. I'm sure all, if not the majority of students anyway, will have logged on to get their Leaving Cert results. I'm sure there was excitement, anticipation, nerves, every sort of emotion that could be felt around the country today. But it seems as though so far a lot of people have done quite well. Tell us about this free phone service.
Yeah, this is National Parents Council Post-Primary. It's the Leaving Certificate Helpline, so it runs every year around the time, from the time that the Leaving Certificate results are issued, right through to the CAO offers issued and for a number of days after it. So it covers from the 2nd to the 14th of September, right the way through from 2 o'clock to 8 p.m. every day through that. It's a free phone service, so it doesn't cost anything, and it's manned by professional guidance counsellors, so they know what they're talking about. They can help every individual with any of the questions or queries that they may have from the point of view of where they may go next, having received their Leaving Certificate results.
Yeah, take us through perhaps some of the queries that the helpline might receive. It deals with the Leaving Cert, the LCA, the Leaving Cert Applied, the LCVP programme, CAO offers, all of that broad range of questions and queries.
Absolutely. Obviously, as you mentioned earlier, lots of excitement, some nerves, some stress. It's a big day in everybody's school career and lifetime. They've come to the end of Leaving Certificate, and of course the most important thing is to celebrate that from the perspective of everybody has achieved that. So the next steps, there are many, many different routes to where anybody may wish to go. So there may be some disappointments around today, but they should be brief because there are, as I say, many routes towards next steps, whether they're in education, whether they're in their work career, or sometimes by taking a little bit of a break. But the guidance counsellors are there to talk through all of that. They have information and there are links. We can link, or we do link up in the helpline with Solace, who look after a lot of other aspects apart from the sort of third level university routes. We also have links to Susie and a variety of pretty well any question that you have, we can answer for you, or we can point you in the direction that you can get more information for. So there is nobody out there who has received Leaving Certificate results today who, if they have any queries, they won't get a satisfactory result or pointers from ringing the helpline.
Okay, good stuff. We just wanted to bring that information to people this afternoon on the programme. We mentioned it on Kildare Today this morning, but just get more information from Paul Ralston, who is the Communications Director with the National Parents Council Post-Primary, and he himself is from Carberry. So that number again, you might just want to take it down. If you have a student who got the Leaving Cert results today, just take it down and have it on the back burner in case that over the next 10 days or so, something pops into your head that you don't quite know the answer to, then these professionally staffed members of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors can take your call and perhaps help you and give you some advice. The number is 1800 265 165. 1800 265 165. Now, Brian Mooney is education correspondent and reporter with the Irish Times. He's also a guidance counsellor. He was on the Kildare Today programme this morning giving us this advice for those Leaving Cert students.
Take a deep breath. Have a look at what you may or may not receive from the CAO next week. If you don't get the course you want or get a course that you're not sure about, don't just jump in for like a drowning man grabbing onto anything that's available. Think about yourself, think about the result that you got. There is a fantastic, wonderful education sector out there where students who do, you know, moderately well in their Leaving Cert and students who do very well in their Leaving Cert can spend a year exploring their options by doing a further education course in business, in pre-law, in pre-science or whatever, and they can literally get an offer of their dream CAO course the following year, maybe having underachieved points-wise by hundreds of points this year. So look and think about what your strategic long-term goals are. Go into your school by appointment over the next few days. They're all back now. The teachers are back. I am sure that guidance counsellors would be more than happy to give a piece of time to one of last year's Leaving Certs to tease out where effectively you may not have got what you're hoping for, and they're more than happy, I'm sure, in most cases, to actually give you the advice. We have to obviously bear in mind the schools are reopening and they're fully engaged with all of the current year students, but I've never come across a guidance counsellor who would turn down a request from a Leaving Cert student from last year for a bit of advice and a bit of support and a bit of encouragement. So contact your schools if you are in that situation.
Yeah, that's the advice of guidance counsellor and Irish Times education columnist Brian Mooney as well, giving us that advice. And once again, the number for that helpline from the National Parents Council post-primary, if you have any concerns or queries regarding the Leaving Cert results, the CEO process, etc., 1800 265 165. Kildare Focus with Owen Beattie and Caoimhe Harney. Let's go now to Caoimhe in Studio 2.
Now, the Eadstown Field Day is taking place this weekend at Punchestown Racecourse and the gates open at 12 noon on Sunday. Joining me now on the line to discuss this is a member of the Eadstown Field Day Committee, Brenda Hyland. Good afternoon, Brenda.
Hello, Caoimhe. Lovely to hear from you.
Lovely to hear from you too. So, Brenda, tell us about the Field Day and what's happening this Sunday.
This Sunday is full of excitement for the parish of Eadstown, and we, which extends actually to Tipper and Haynestown and Ratmore. This field day is going on for actually over 50 years, and I stand to be corrected, but I think we're one of the oldest in the country. Now, this year, it's going to be our 52nd. Of course, we lost the 2 years, and we are really shouting out to everybody to come along and engage and have a great family day of fun. A country feast, really, is what it is. And it's a place for people to reconnect socially. And after all, we have had, you know, two difficult years. So I think everyone just wants to meet and have some fun and bring their children and enjoy.
Yeah, so Brenda, can you tell us a few things that are going on? I know I've obviously attended it a few times myself. There's art exhibitions, yeah. There's a barbecue. What else can you tell us about it?
Well, there's many things. Like, there's an art exhibition, the barbecue, the bookstall, the usual bottle stall. And, of course, we'll have the Kiltee Leadstown Cultus music going on. And, of course, the tea tent for all your cups of tea and coffee and chats there under the tent. At about 2:30, we will have the dog show, which is very popular every year. And we have the hook-a-duck, duck face painting, even a raffle for a handbag of note, a designer. We have the Hungry Hippo, the monster raffle, of course, even the gerbil race. And then we have the plant and the shrubs, the produce stall. Oh my goodness, there's just so much, and you can still even win a fish, the Wheel of Fortune, and it goes on and on. So there's lots of things for everyone to do. And then, of course, besides all what's going on at this end, at one end we have, of course, our pony and horse show at the other end, which starts at 10 a.m. And there's plenty for everybody to get, you know, involved in whatever. But as I go on about what is on, I also really have to shout out and say thank you, thank you, thank you to all our sponsors. They are incredible. They keep every year on year, they continue to dig deep and help us put on this wonderful, show for all in the area.
And Brenda, can people just show up on the day, or do they have to pre-book tickets, or can they pay in at the gate, or what way does it work?
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a voluntary contribution on the gate. It has always been like that, you know. And there are some things that perhaps you might like to know about, such as the art competition, which is this year it's for a painting or a picture of whatever for a birdhouse, and that's €2 per entry, and it's for the junior to the senior primary school level, and you hand in your entry, for instance, at the into the art tent. Also, there's a great competition for design, a scarecrow competition. That's a free entry, and you register in the art tent, and that will be judged at 4 p.m. And you can make any part of the scarecrow, whatever you think yourself.
And so you've been said it's running for over 50 years. Where does the money go to, or who does it go to, that the money that's raised?
Well, the money that's raised is divided between Eastown, Kilteel and Rathmore churches. And it's to keep them ticking over each year. It's very important that we do that. They're a great sense of community for everybody in the area. And it's a little bit of a token towards the running of the parish.
OK, great. Well, that's Brenda Hyland, member of the Eadstown Field Day Committee. And that'll be taking place on Sunday. And gates will open at 12 noon. Thanks very much, Brenda.
Not at all. And thank you. And thank you to all our volunteers. And Caoimhe, before you go, could I just ask one more thing, please?
Of course.
Yeah, I really want to ask for a call to action. This could be our very last time putting this Eadstown Field Day on. We don't want to lose it, but we certainly need new blood. And we would really, really appreciate people to come and join us. So thank you very much.
No problem, Brenda. That sounds like you're trying to rope me into a bit of volunteering, was it?
Yes, indeed.
I'll be there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right,
keep your messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97. Well, we're going to talk about mediation now. What is it? And is it better to, I suppose, solve family issues this way? And joining me in studio is Michelle Brown. She's a professional family mediator at Brown & Co. Mediation, based in Naas, a member of the IPMO and also a member of Mediation Institute of Ireland. Michelle, good afternoon and thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Owen.
So
thanks for having me.
The first thing there, and I mentioned it in the intro, is perhaps you might explain to us what mediation is, because not a lot of people might know what it is. They might have heard it, they might have talked to somebody who has gone through the process, but mediation, how
sure.
would you define it?
Yeah, well, look, mediation is often misunderstood, and that's a difficulty that we as mediators face. But basically, mediation is a way of solving disputes without the necessity for a court battle, so to speak. It's through dialogue, it's through negotiation with the parties involved. Mm. Now, we predominantly deal with separating couples. So we're dealing with issues around separation, division of assets, property, maintenance, child access agreements. So that's predominantly what we're dealing with. So the objective is, through a self-determined process with the help of a mediator, that you can achieve what is needed. And, you know, that will vary depending upon the couples involved. But basically, it's to achieve it through dialogue, through meetings, without the necessity of the fight.
I suppose the important thing there as well, Michelle, is the impartiality. So a mediator is, you know, I suppose that link between the
Correct.
Two sides of a dispute.
A hugely important aspect of it is that your mediator is on neither side. Mm. And that can often take one or two meetings for a person to realise that is exactly what is going on. A professional mediator wouldn't be able to do his or her job correctly if they were on either side. Mm. So the importance of the mediator's job is to be impartial, but yet working for both parties for the agreement that's in the best interest of predominantly the children and then the parties involved. So that's where we're going with it.
Because as you mentioned there, some of the things that you deal with, they're highly, highly personal and they're very important issues in people's lives. And it's very important for those, I suppose, to be handled very delicately and professionally and with care. And that's something that a lot of people who have been through the mediation process would speak very highly of about mediators, is that respect to privacy and understanding.
Absolutely. It is essential that mediation is done in confidence. Mm. Now, and, you know, each party that comes in, we sign an agreement with the party, and confidentiality is hugely important for mediation. So that's a given. in each mediation.
Yeah, also flexibility, I know, is something that is an advantage of mediation, because meetings can take place, phone calls can take place at people's discretion or whatever.
Absolutely, and you're not waiting on a court date, so it's worked around the people involved. So currently we know that there are issues around the court system and that there are long waiting lists and long delays. For example, the court in Naas, our own court in Naas, it deals with family law when the court is open on the first Monday and the third Monday of the month. So we know at the moment the court waiting list could have 70 on those particular days. So, you know, obviously you're on that list with 69 other people if there's 70 people on the list, and the likelihood of getting it resolved on that day is slim to none. So, you know, it's dragged on down the road. So we know that it's a long, long process. We know within mediation it can take anywhere between 4 and 8 sessions on average to get a result whereby you come to agreement. We know it's effective. We know it works.
Yeah.
You know, in 90% plus of our cases, we achieve agreement. It's vitally important that people know there is an alternative to the courtroom battle. We know that there is an alternative out there that is better suited, especially where children are involved.
And judging by those numbers and, I suppose, timelines, you're given very efficient as well. You know, mediation is quite efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it can be intense for those meetings. It can be difficult, but by far it is a more suitable process to deal with a separation. When people, if you can imagine, they've realised the marriage has broken down, they're vulnerable, they're upset, they're dealing with some kind of trauma. Nobody goes into a marriage thinking that they're going to have to deal with breakup. So, you know, whether or not people have broken up for a number of years and come to mediation, or whether or not it's a short time and they arrive to mediation, there is always hurt, upset, and, you know, the need to plan a future that is different from what they had anticipated.
Yeah.
So the need to do that with empathy and understanding, and the need for people to understand that they don't have to go through that slog of the courtroom process. And also the costs involved. We know that the costs are exorbitant with the traditional legal system. You know, I suppose 97 divorce came in. The first divorce was probably put through in about 1997. So the practice has been in place. And when something is in place for a long period of time, it's the thing that we understand that we should do. So we go to a solicitor, we let the case run, and next thing you know, we're a year or two down the line and tens of thousands lighter in the pocket.
It's the norm.
Yeah. So now we know, like, obviously then there wasn't the professional mediation services that is available now. And the Mediation Act was passed in only 2017. So it's enacted since early 2018. So it is relatively new that a legal separation can be achieved through mediation.
Okay, hold that point on the cost, because I do want to come to that in a moment. But I want you to take me to the first step. So we know that the mediation process, and you've explained very well how that works and how people can go through it. That first step, though, how do couples who are going to separate get in touch with the mediator, and what happens there when you make that phone call? Because that is, I would say, the most difficult part, is reaching out to a mediator. So is there a meeting held? Or?
Yes, that is often. I would often say the first meeting is the most difficult, or to get somebody to agree to come to the table, because there are reservations. After that, you know, there's generally a sales smoothing, but initially there's a phone call made, there's an inquiry made, and we ask both parties to arrive separately to two separate meetings, and we need to get the necessary information. We sign an agreement to mediate with the parties, and we understand what it is they need and what they're looking to achieve. As I say, an awful lot of it is parenting, an awful lot of it is, you know, a legal separation. We find out what's needed from both parties. So depending upon where both parties are at, so I will meet with both parties separately. You know, both parties might be happy to come in on the next meeting together and sit down and work together. you might realise that after speaking to both parties, it will be more productive to see people separately for, you know, a longer period of time. And that's fine too. Either is possible through mediation. The objective is to achieve what they're both looking for through a self-determined agreement.
Yeah. So, and is it just two parties like that? So say if it was a divorce that you're dealing with, is it the one side as in one person and the other side is one person as well? So you're dealing with two people.
Correct.
Rather than there's no more outside influences coming in such as other family members, etc.
Other family members are permitted if on agreement by both parties.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to bring, for example, their sister or their brother or their friend or their legal advisor, which both parties are entitled to bring. Legal advice is something that, you know, everybody is entitled to get. But it's about creating the agreement through the dialogue that ensues with mediation. Yeah. So yes, in answer to your question, you are, should both parties agree, if somebody would feel that they need that support. And that does happen occasionally, you know. So, yes, that's possible.
OK, let's go back to the cost then and just talk me through then, I suppose, average prices and how it compares to other forms of sorting these situations out.
Well, it's really important for me with the practice that we are extremely clear with regard to the costs. And it's hard to tell you at this point what a couple, but, you know, when we sit down with a couple, we can discuss with them what costs are involved and we make sure it's really, really clear.
Okay.
However, the alternative, the traditional system, as we refer to, is perhaps 20 times more expensive than the average mediation, perhaps 40 times, depending upon the level of money involved in that split that's going through the courts. But the big difference is that it is not clear in that way. And it's really, really important to me that from the outset, it's extremely clear. Now, they're not exorbitant costs. There is a cost involved. Mm-hmm. It is a professional service. But the really, really important key is that people understand what's going on. There's no hidden charges.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's all set out at the outset.
It's set out at the outset in the contract to agree to mediate.
Yeah. Okay, before we let you go then, Michelle, and thanks for taking the time out to come in to us this afternoon. Yourselves at Brown & Co Mediation, tell us a little bit about yourselves then, based in Naas.
Yeah, we're based in Naas beside the courthouse, which just happens to be an excellent location. It was more of an accident than anything else, but it is a great referral spot for people because they all know where the court is. But yeah, we're based there. We're open and practicing. As I say, we're members of the IMPO and the Mediators Institute of Ireland, that are the two recognised bodies in Ireland. So yeah, we're there now, running on 18 months, and we're, you know, the practice itself is busy, Owen, but I suppose the thing that's most important to get across is that there's a lack of understanding, and the longer I do it, the more I realise that each person that comes through the door has an idea of what mediation is, but there's not a clear understanding. There's not a clear understanding that this, you know, what this option can do. So I really, really feel it's important that we have this conversation, that people know that there is another way of dealing with it, that when they are, you know, in the throes of a marriage breakup, that they don't immediately think that they need to take on a legal battle, that there is another option, there is another way of dealing with this.
Okay, and tell us your contact details then at the office if people want to call in, or can you just drop in to the
Absolutely,
the
look up our website. No, you can't just drop in, unfortunately, but absolutely, look up the website, Brown & Co Mediation, and you'll find all the information on that.
Okay, super stuff. Well, that is Michelle Brown, professional family mediator at Brown & Co Mediation, based in Naas, as we said, a member of the IMPO and a member of Mediation Institute of Ireland. Michelle, thank you and good afternoon.
Thanks, Owen.
Kildare Focus with Owen Beattie and Caoimhe Harney for this Friday afternoon. Hopefully we find you well. Don't forget, coming up at 3 o'clock, it's K-Drive Classic Gold, and then it's K-Drive Proper with Paul Power, driving you home between 4 and 7 o'clock. Now, Chronic Pain Ireland, an organisation dedicated to supporting people living with chronic pain and their families, Cities is to mark the 30th anniversary of its foundation by hosting a series of events for Pain Awareness Month, which started yesterday and runs for the entire month of September. Martina Phelan is Chair of Chronic Pain Ireland. Good afternoon to you, Martina.
Good afternoon, Owen.
Tell us a little bit more about the organisation. 30 years since your foundation, so what kind of work do you do?
That's right. We're delighted to obviously still be around for 30 years this year. We provide information, education and support services to anyone living with chronic pain, but also families, friends, caregivers, or really anybody that's interested out there. So we've had companies, you know, bring us in, give a talk to their employees, that kind of thing, because, you know, they've been aware that there's somebody with chronic pain there and they wanted to learn more, teach their employees more. That's kind of what we do. We do public talks for awareness. We run self-management courses for people with chronic pain, teach them how to self-manage their pain. But then we also advocate on their behalf. And we provide a telephone support line, an e-newsletter, an e-zine. We also partner with universities for research. So we do public patient involvement, pardon me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more actually about, I suppose, the definition of chronic pain and some of those people that you would deal with and work with. Mm. What sort of, I suppose, injuries, disabilities, pain management, what would they be diagnosed with?
You could be diagnosed with such a range of conditions, Owen, that I absolutely couldn't go into it. So, you know, you would have people with cancer pain or post-cancer pain, people with MS, just, you know, they're just two off the top of my head. People with diabetes would have neuropathy. You know, any even an injury that doesn't heal properly can cause chronic pain. For myself, I have what's called primary chronic pain, and that's chronic pain without a known cause.
Right. And how does that affect you then, Martina?
So on a day-to-day basis, obviously it's pain every day of the week, and that's pretty much what chronic pain or persistent pain, some people would know it as. I have to manage my energy levels. We call it pacing. So, you know, when I feel good, I don't run around the house and clean the whole house. Yeah. I do small bits every day. I take a lot of breaks. You know, go for shorter walks with the dog or not go for a walk at all if I'm not feeling up to it that day. It has a huge impact on your life. I had to stop working full time about 7 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't sit down, you know. Sitting causes, for everybody, sitting causes some issues. But for me, that was one of my main issues, was I'm just unable to sit for long periods of time without being in pain.
What about medication then? Does quite a lot of medication, I'm assuming, that you would have to take, does it help at all?
Medication can help. I can't speak for the masses, yeah. You know, and I wouldn't get into what types of medication are out there, because what works for one won't work for another, or may not work for another. And as you said, there's a huge range of medications, but there's also procedures that can be done by pain specialists that can also help manage the pain. And I do a combination of both for myself, and it manages it quite well for me.
And I know that you work as well in conjunction with the HSE, and you've now put together the self-management programs, which is also important. So while we can talk about maybe pain specialists and medication and procedures, etc., managing the pain yourself is very important, and this is what the programs are for now as part of Pain Awareness Month.
That's right. And I suppose going into it, it's a HSE program. We didn't have a big hand in designing it. It's called Living Well with Chronic Pain, and they also run Living Well with Chronic Conditions. But obviously the Living Well with Chronic Pain is tailored for people with chronic pain. So we've done collaboration with them for Pain Awareness Month, where they're running them for our members, for people with chronic pain.
Okay, it's a 7-week online program, is it?
It's a 7-week online program, and it goes through everything. It goes through the pacing, the self-management, energy levels, sleeping, how to talk to people,
about it, relationships. And it's quite an intensive course, and from the feedback that we've gotten, it's a fabulous course for people to do, and we absolutely recommend anybody to sign up to it. There's a huge range of resources that they provide as well as part of the course that you can take away with you afterwards.
And it's available for free as well, designed to support those living with chronic pain conditions to self-manage by providing, as you say, tools, techniques and coping strategies. I also note and saw a couple of pictures as well, which is great. You have the launch of the Hidden Disabilities Sunflower Initiative to highlight the plight of those living with chronic pain and non-visible disabilities.
The sunflower lanyard got tongue-tied there. Yes, no the problem. Sunflower lanyard, as most people would know it, those that would know it. And it's a brilliant initiative. So basically it's the lanyard with sunflowers on it. And it's to indicate to people that I have a hidden disability and I may need assistance. And it's internationally recognised. You can wear it travelling, you can wear it going into retail. A lot of retail institutions now recognise it. And it means that, you know, when you ask for help or if you ask for help, you don't have to explain yourself. You know, you can show them the lanyard and say, I may need help. Or you may even be approached by somebody that says, do you need a hand? Without ever having to say a word.
Okay.
I think it's an absolutely brilliant resource. So as well as being a tool for you to use, it also raises awareness. People see it and they go, oh, somebody has a hidden disability.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a great idea because, as you said, not all disabilities are visible. Not all pain is visible either. So it's a great, great initiative. And the best of luck to all who organise that. Finally, before we let you go then, Martina, and you've explained it exceptionally well what Pain Awareness Month is. If people want to get more information or to register for that programme that we mentioned, how can they do so?
So for more information on Pain Awareness Month and Chronic Pain Ireland, they can log on to chronicpain.ie and go to events and everything will be listed there.
Okay, that is Martina Phelan, Chair of Chronic Pain Ireland. Martina, many thanks for taking our call this afternoon and good afternoon to you. And as Martina said, yeah, more information can be found on Chronic Pain Ireland's website. Okay, let's go to the south of the county then and onto the Athy Leash border, where thousands of people are making the way down to Electric Picnic in Stradbally. The traffic quite heavy in Athy. It's obviously quite heavy out in Stradbally as well, and in Port Leash on the road out also. Oliver Baker is on the line, Inspector Oliver Baker of Tullamore Garda Station. Good afternoon to you, Oliver, and thanks for taking our call.
Good afternoon, Owen.
Tell us a little bit about the traffic situation down there at the moment. Then, as I say, Athy, Stradbally and the Port Leash Road are very busy, judging by what I can see. What can you see on the ground?
Yeah, indeed. That's a true reflection of how it is. I suppose there's an event where there's in excess of 80,000 people attending the event, be it from staff and from patrons attending the event. So there's a lot of traffic on the ground. And I suppose there's a lot of sorting out when you get in close to the Stradbally town and the event site itself, as to different categories of car parks, be they campers or be they people attending the event or staff or security or even ourselves as members of An Garda Síochána managing the traffic, that there's quite a lot going on. So we've been hugely respectful of the patience shown by a lot of the people on the roads today. It's great that the weather has held and we're able to move the traffic in a slow and calm manner, and it has been progressing quite well throughout the morning.
Okay, what sort of road works and road diversions are in place down there at the moment, Oliver? Is Stradbally more or less cordoned off from Stradbally Hall?
No, the N80, as it proceeds from Port Leash down into Carlow, and which Stradbally obviously is on that route, that's open, and the traffic can move through that. But we would be expressing that people who would be using that route just as a main road, maybe down through into Carlow, and that they would use alternative routes themselves. The majority of the route now is taken over by traffic attending the event, and we have both Garda signs and Gardaí at the critical junctions, who are directing traffic and moving traffic in the right direction. And again, at that is just that traffic is moving quite slowly, but it is moving at the same time, and we're able to get the people and the cars into the car parks, and so that they can get into the event as early as they can and enjoy the weekend.
Okay, and as we said, traffic is very heavy in Stradbally and Athy at the moment, and it will be for the remainder of the weekend, you would imagine, yeah, because of Electric Picnic. Oliver, before I let you go, I have to mention that you are a famous hurler from the Clare County. I wish I could be saying to you that Clare have won three in a row, but unfortunately it's the far side of the border, Limerick, that have won the All-Ireland three in a row. You played club hurling with the St. Joseph's Dura Barefield Club. You had much success for the golden age of the club as well. Just wanted to chat to you briefly about 95 and 97, the All-Ireland title wins.
Yeah. This, you're springing this on me now, Owen, I can tell you.
I suppose you're still celebrating those All-Ireland wins, are you, Oliver?
Well, we certainly had a good few winters out of them, no doubt. But look, they were great times, no doubt. Much different times than we have today. But look at the state of hurling in County Clare has always been healthy, and we were lucky enough to be able to get some of the limelight in the times that I played, and it has continued and is still very strong down there, and we were delighted to see how the lads performed this year, and disappointed we didn't make an All-Ireland final. We'd love to have had another rattle after Limerick lads, but it wasn't to be, but we look forward to next year. Maybe that day will come for us again.
Absolutely. You were up in Dublin there the last that I saw. Are you still managing Kilmacrud Crokes, or are you involved up there?
No, because moved on a bit from there, so kind of, no, just staying local now and
very good.
Just doing a little bit with local teams around this area, but it's great. It's been, I'm sure, as you know, GA, when it's in your blood, it kind of stays with you. And we were fortunate enough when I was a kid growing up, that you had people who took care of us and took time out and of their own lives to help us along, coached us along, and I suppose that the wheel turns full circle and you get an opportunity to give it back to other kids in, and so that's the point of the circle I'm at now. So it's really enjoyable, and staying involved in the GAA is something that's a usually enjoyable pursuit.
Very good, very good. I won't mention, or will I mention, the false ending of 1998 against Offaly, one that I've only read about. I was only 2 years of age when it happened, Oliver, but I've read about it and I've heard about it from a certain Clare man here in KFM who tells us about it a lot. Still gives you nightmares, does it?
Not really, no. We've managed, after years and years of therapy, we're after coming through. So we're okay. I think you can thank Mr. Ryan in the background there as well. For spreading the good news of Clare hurling around.
Exactly. Listen, Inspector Oliver Baker of Tullamore Garda Station on that update regarding Electric Picnic traffic down in Stradbally and Athy, and also having a chat about Clare hurling as well. Good to talk to you, Oliver, and take care. Good afternoon.